loves your pastor, even a bad one. It could be worse. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Light.
Hey, if you're in the stuffy, turn off the radio now, because this is Key Light, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Sometimes I'm so pleased with these teasers, I simply can't tell you. And the thing that makes it even better is when I look in the little glass booth and Eric and Tim are laughing at the teasers. They think I'm going to say bad things about pastors, but I'm really not. And I want you to stay with me as we do it. We're looking at Amos and yesterday, and we've already done all the preliminary spade work. And I'm just taking you through the book of Amos, listing up some significant verses. We looked at Amos 1:1 yesterday, and we talked about how he dated his book by saying 2 years before the earthquake, and nobody knows what he's talking about. I mean, it was a big deal to the people to whom he wrote, but nobody today even knows about the earthquake. And I suggested yesterday that we need to put things in perspective. The big earthquakes in our life may not be so big 10 years from now. And then I mentioned yesterday, and I'll talk a little bit more about it today. Amos was a master communicator. Now, if you start, let me show you. And let me just listen. If you've got your Bible there, and if you're in a place where you can't open it, just kind of listen to what I'm saying. In the sixth verse, Amos is a prophet speaking really harsh things about Gaza, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment. Then he goes on. And then at the 9th verse, people that really hated that bunch started listening to Amos. And then he said, in the 9th verse, for 3 transgressions of Tyre, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment. And the people didn't like those folks, joined the crowd that was up there with Amos. And then in the 11th verse, and I'm in the first chapter, he says, for the 3 transgressions of Edom, and for 4, I will not turn away the prayer. And then he lists what they did. And the people who really hated the Edomites joined in and said, yeah, you tell them. And then in the 13th verse, he says, for the 3 transgressions of the people of Ammon, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment. And more joined the crowd and said, you know, they are turkeys. I'm glad somebody is finally speaking the truth. And then look at the first verse of the second chapter. For the 3 transgressions of Moab, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment. And then he begins to tell why. And boy, the people that hated the Moabites, they were just standing up and cheering. And then he said, and you got to remember, he's speaking to the northern kingdom. So he talks about those guys in the south, in Judah. For the 3 transgressions of Judah, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment. And the crowd is big by now. They're saying, yay, God! and then Amos does something that for any good communicator shouldn't surprise you. Then he said, now that I've got your attention, listen up. For the 3 transgressions of Israel, and for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. And the crowd said, now you stop preaching and you started meddling. You know, that's what Paul did. You know, we always quote the first chapters of Romans talking about sin, particular sexual sin, and particularly homosexuality. And that's true. I mean, what Paul says about that, but that's not the point of what Paul's doing, because Paul is bringing the readers of the Romans into the purview as a communicator before he says, and you have no excuse yourself, and let me tell you why. And so the verses in the first part of Romans are not given so we can throw rocks. They're given so we can examine ourselves. You'll find that throughout the Bible. God understands our frame, and he communicates properly. The best way to get somebody's attention is to get them angry about somebody else. You remember who else did that? I'll give you a hint. It's 2 Samuel 12. And it was the prophet. And the prophet had gone to David and told him about a bad man who had taken the one lamb from a poor man, and David is incensed. He's angry and he's upset. But the prophet was thinking about Bathsheba. And then he turned to David and said, "Thou art the man." Now, what are we to learn from this? Let me tell you. The things that make you so angry about other people are often the things that you need to deal with in your own life. It's so banal when you say it. Every time you point your finger at somebody, you got three fingers pointing at yourself. But you know, there's some truth to that. Ask yourself, what really ticks you off about other people? Man, I've got a list. I really do. I can put names with everything on that list, too. Lots of names on the list, until God told me, "Thou art the man." As I understand it, Christians should be more into repentance and judgment regarding themselves than for anybody else. And so often, we're so quick to judge others. And so, let me suggest that you find out what makes you angry about those leftists. What is it that really ticks you off about the gays? What is it that makes you so angry about the liberals? Then say, "God, oh God, show me myself." Well, no, and don't send me letters. You're saying homosexuality is all right. No, I'm not. I don't believe that, and I don't say that. You're saying that people ought to be left and liberal. No, I'm not. I'm to the right. I told you I think Rush Limbaugh's a communist. I am so conservative. So I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, or at least for me, maybe it's not true for you, but I think it is. What makes you angry about other people? Start looking at yourself and say, "God, show me myself." Now, I want to show you Amos. I'm into the second chapter now, in verses 6-16. And I read a little bit of that, the beginning of it. "For the three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment." And then Amos begins to list some things that are really, really tough. But I want to pay particular attention to verses 11-12, and this is what it says. "And I raised up some of your sons for prophets, and some of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not indeed so, people of Israel, says the Lord? But you made the Nazarites drink wine, and commanded the prophets, saying, you shall not prophesy." Now, let me just show you something. We'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow. A Nazarite means one who is consecrated. So this is somebody who would raise their hands at a missions conference. I mean, this is somebody who said, "All right, I won't like it, but I'm going to go to seminary." These were the people who were set aside from the flock to serve God. And they took vows to abstain from all alcoholic beverages. 2, they refused to cut their hair. I don't have any to cut. 3, they avoided contact with the dead. And 4, they declined unclean food. And so, what is Amos saying? He said, "You took these consecrated ones and you poured wine down their throats. You made them drink. And you took my called prophets and you said, you shall not prophesy." Let me tell you something that is important for you to remember. The prophets and the Nazarites, the preachers and the missionaries and the people who serve us and minister to us are people for whom we are responsible. If you've ever gone to your preacher when he was teaching God's word and you said, "You will not speak those condemning words to me again," you're in dangerous territory. If you caused one of his little ones who consecrated himself or herself to Christ to sin. That's a bad thing. I think of my early ministry. I was serving in a little church down on Cape Cod. And, whenever I think about that place, I feel good. We had as many as 14, 15 ministers, pastors, in that church in the summer. And I had four that stayed there year-round. Variety of missionaries. I had one sermon. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know what I was doing. The sermons were horrible. And those people, especially those pastors, they loved me and they lifted up my arms. They said, he's not very good, but he's not what he's going to be. And we're going to pray for him. We're going to help him. I can name those guys, and I sometimes do, and thank God for their love and for their support. Because right now, I'm teaching you from the Bible because of them. In your church, you look for those that God has set apart. You look for those that are his servants. You encourage them and you lift them up. And go to your pastor and encourage him and love him or her. And be a person who holds up their arms. God will bless you for it. When you bless them, you think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our fall magazine, I'd love to send it to you. I wrote an article, How to Be Christmas to the World. Yeah, Christmas is coming up. Pete Alwinson wrote an article, As the Men of the Church Go, So Goes the Church. There's a question and answer column, a lot of neat information for your pastor on the Pooped Pastors Conference in January. A lot of resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. I'll send it to you free as long as supplies last. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIGHT, 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Light, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Light Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us with your regular address to steve@keylight.org and ask for the fall magazine. It's free, and I really mean that. But if you could help us financially, you would be a champion for so many more. Only a small percentage of people are able to help us financially, and we depend on them totally. So pray about it. If you're called to this ministry, be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, put it in your envelope, and for any contribution of any size, I'll send along as my thank you when you request it, the cassette teaching, Checking Inside. 6 questions that could change your life. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.